Okay, hi everybody. I did my field experience for my master's in public health on the health beliefs and behavior of diabetes patients in St. Vincent and the Grenadines related to diabetes foot care. And I collaborated with one of my professors, Cyril Blavo, the medical officer in St. Vincent for the Ministry of Health, Roger Duncan, a fellow graduate student of mine, Ludmilla Paul, she did a lot of the statistics and things like that, and another professor, Patrick Hardigan. I don't have any relationships to disclose. Just to give you an idea, just in case you don't know, St. Vincent and the Grenadines is located, it's about a 30-minute flight from Trinidad, it's in the Eastern Caribbean, it's 32 islands, but there's one mainland, which is St. Vincent, and then the other little islands are the Grenadines. And the population is about 109,365. That was of 2011, so it could fluctuate a little bit, but it's a very small population. A question to keep in mind for this study was, why is there a high incidence of amputations among diabetics on islands of St. Vincent and the Grenadines? There's a lot of health promotion and health awareness going on the island via the Ministry of Health and the government there, but there's still a lot of problems with compliance and people actually listening to what they're being told. So I decided to do this study because I found out that between 30 and 50 amputations and 120 deaths were attributable to diabetes in St. Vincent annually. That was of 2005, but not much has changed, even though they've been doing a lot of health promotion, a lot of health awareness. They're always talking about it on the radio, TV, but a lot of people are still not complying. So I was trying to get to the reason of why people are not complying to what the information they're being told. And the thing is that a lot of these amputations are very preventable, and if they have the right foot care and footwear. And the Caribbean lifestyle and cultural norms kind of makes the situation worse because some people go barefoot, you know, it's hot all the time. So it's a different lifestyle, the things they eat, they have a lot of sugary drinks. And even some of the fruits, they're very sweet. So, and they have myths, the people there, they believe, okay, I could eat anything I want, but I could drink a lot of water after and I'll be fine. So there's a lot of these myths and cultural norms that I was trying to discover and really find out how we could break these barriers so they can comply more to what could help prevent them from getting an amputation. Because where you live should not affect your health outcomes. My goals were to assess the health beliefs and behaviors of some of the diabetic patients on the island, understand the patient's perspective. We get a lot of the doctor's feedback and the nurse's feedback and the community health worker's feedback. And I really just wanted to get the patient's perspective on the issue. And I wanted to identify the challenges to compliance, whether it's the diet recommendations, the exercise recommendations. I just wanted to get to the bottom of it. This is a picture with me and some of the locals there in one of the clinics where I did one of the surveys. Okay, I created a survey in collaboration with the Ministry of Health in St. Vincent and with some of my professors and fellow graduate students. We conducted it. I actually went down there for 2.5 months, and we went to 6 clinic sites around the island and different parts of the island. So some were in rural areas and some were in more urban areas. It was completely voluntary. The nurses and doctors weren't watching over the patients, so they didn't feel pressured to answer a certain way. The surveys were placed in a box right after they were finished, so we told them it would be anonymous. We didn't ask for their name, any identifiable information. The survey was written at a 6th grade reading level because a lot of that population were older and they only had a primary school education. As you could see, 81% of the people that we surveyed had a primary school education. And that could also be a reason why the compliance is so high, because the health literacy, sometimes doctors aren't aware of how they're speaking to the patient, but maybe the patient doesn't understand fully you know, what they're supposed to be complying with. The inclusion criteria were diabetic patients. The exclusion criteria were non-diabetic patients, and we knew that by the nurses when we went to the clinic. They told us which patients were diabetics, which weren't, and those are how we chose who to ask if they would like to voluntarily take the survey. We had 53 patients altogether take the survey, 81% female, 19% male. That's another cultural norm thing that was, we weren't surprised by the fact that we had more females, because a lot of males feel like they're strong and they don't need to go to the doctor. That's a problem they have there in that country. And some of the key questions for my survey were, are you aware of the special diet that is recommended for diabetes? Do you know how to check your own feet for cuts, sores, or numbness? Are you concerned or worried about having diabetes? How often do you go outside barefooted? Do you believe you have some control over whether or not you get an amputation from diabetes? And do you fully trust the information or advice from your doctor or nurse? Some of the key findings, I'd really like to point out that 55% believe they have control over preventing amputations. That's a good start. that at least they have that health belief that they can prevent themselves from getting an amputation, and what they're doing to prevent it's actually working. A lot of this work was based around the health belief model. And, you know, some of the perceived benefits and perceived barriers is what we based this study around. 98% said that they were aware of the recommended diet for diabetics, and this goes to show that, you know, they are educating the public. A lot of the health promotion that they're doing is working, but it's just the compliance that we're fighting with. 81% reported that they know how to check their own feet for cuts, sores, or numbness. 64% said that they don't worry about having diabetes. 40% say that they occasionally go outside barefooted. 83% fully trust their doctor or nurse's information and advice. And 89% said that they use the TV, radio, or newspaper to learn new information. Some of the perceived barriers to compliance that we discovered were the cost of healthy eating, lack of desire and motivation, level of stress, lack of social support. A lot of people, a lot of that population, the older population, their families moved away to the States or Canada or somewhere else, and they're there by themselves, and they have to cook for themselves, they have to buy their own food, and they don't have that social support to whether it's eat healthy or exercise. They just don't have that social support. Some of them are widowed, and they live by themselves, so they lack that social support and encouragement. The cost of adequate foot care is, footwear is also a problem. Shoes are very expensive. Even the nurses complain that they don't have proper shoes that are comfortable and good for your feet. So that's a big problem as well. And complacency. Some of the recommendations that we came up with from the data that we discovered is foot care demonstrations for patients at local clinics, just not broadcasting things on the radio and TV only, but actually going to the clinics and doing demonstrations in front of them. I think they would learn better hands-on rather than just being told what to do. And increase access and improve affordability of therapeutic shoes and foot care supplies for diabetics. And broadcast testimonials from diabetic amputees. I was looking at some of the CDC findings from the Tips from Former Smokers campaign, where they have former smokers come on TV and talk about what happened to them because they smoke and things like that. And I think that would be very effective there. And that's it. That's my contact information. Thank you guys for your time.